Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM WCLK.
Coming up on this week's edition of Upfront, we talk exclusively to actress and content creator Issa Rae about her new HBO series, Insecure. Photographer Joshua Rashad McFadden is here to chat about his new exhibition, Come to Selfhood. And Tony-winning director Kenny Leon is in the studio to talk about directing NBC's Hairspray and much more. But first, here's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news with Reva Blue.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Central Casting is seeking two specific types of children for an episode of the New York Fox series Star, which is currently shooting in Atlanta. The show needs twins between the ages of 4 to 9 months old who appear to be mixed with African American and Caucasian or Hispanic descent with black hair. This is for a scene that will be shot on Wednesday, October 12th. The show is also seeking a Caucasian girl between the ages of 2 to 3 years old with curly blonde hair. This is also scheduled for Wednesday, October 12th. Please email photos to star@centralcasting.com. Central Casting is looking for men and women over the age of 18 who own and can operate a Vespa or motorized scooter for the new Fox series 24 Legacy. This will be a fun, action-packed scene scheduled for Tuesday, October 18th. If you have this scooter and are available for the scene, please send a photo of the vehicle to 24@centralcasting.com. In other related entertainment news, the National Black Arts Festival, NBAF, presents Step Africa tonight at 7:30 at the Rialto Center for the Arts at Georgia State. The performance will feature African-American stepping, South African gumboot, and traditional West African dance, as well as The Migration, reflections on African-American artist Jacob Lawrence. Ticket information is available at WCLK.com. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue. You're listening to member-supported Jazz 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's jazz station, and now the home for in-depth arts and entertainment. Now, back to Upfront with your host, Ray Cornelius.
Hey Upfront listeners, this is Ray Cornelius urging you to pick up your phones and dial 404-880-8807 to make your pledge of support for this show and the countless others you listen to throughout the week. That's 404-880-8807, or make your pledge of support online at WCLK.com.
We got y'all offers after school tutoring, mentoring programs, so do y'all have any questions?
Why you talk like a white girl?
You caught me, I'm rocking blackface.
It's racist. Shut it, what? The best thing
you're doing is dumb. Is this what you all you want to do?
Issa, what's on fleek?
I don't know what that means. I know what that means.
Why ain't you married?
I'm breaking up with him tonight. No, you're not.
Yeah, you're right, I'm not.
My dad said ain't nobody checking for bitter black women anymore.
Black women aren't bitter. They're just tired of being expected to settle for less. Yak it to the yak.
Her outfit settled for less.
That was the trailer for HBO's newest comedy series, Insecure, starring YouTube sensation, actress, director, and content creator Issa Rae. I caught up with the rising star to chat about the highly anticipated series, which airs Sunday night at 10:30 p.m. Well, good morning, Issa, and welcome to Upfront. How are you today?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, no problem. Congratulations on your new HBO series, Insecure. I got a chance to preview tomorrow night's episode, and you definitely have a hit on your hands. Let's talk about the show and the inspiration behind your character.
So the show just came about, HBO called me after ABC passed on my pilot for Shadowland called I Hate LA Dudes, and, I was feeling bummed out, and a month later they called and said, hey, what else do you have? And so I knew I wanted to create a show that had Aqua Black Girl themes for HBO, but I wanted, real sensibilities and something that aligned with their brand.
Right.
And so I crafted a pitch for them, and they bought the pitch in the room, and then, brought Larry Wilmore in as the showrunner initially to help me craft the pilot. And basically the character is just like me, if I didn't know what I wanted to do, and if I didn't, if I still felt uncertain about, you know, who I was, and it's sort of that journey to being happy with who you are and being confident in your insecurities.
So how much of the show is inspired by your personal life? Because there were, I noticed that there was a lot of hip hop infused, and I know that you're a music lover, and you know, from previous conversations. So how much of the show is inspired by your personal life?
It's like, it's not an autobiography by any means. Like,
right.
There's definitely elements. There are definitely like real life friends that I've used as inspiration. I think my life was more, the show was more inspired by my life than based on my life.
Okay.
And then even in the writer's room, I would say that every writer has like a chunk or a piece or a morsel of their lives in this, because we just wanted to tell like a good story at the end of the day, and something that felt sort of like universal, where you could watch and be like, oh my God, I've been through that, or I know that person, or I get that. And that was the most important thing to me.
Cool. You're listening to the voice of actress Issa Rae, who is starring in HBO's new comedy series Insecure. Let's talk about, I mentioned that hip hop, you know, sort of plays, in my opinion, plays a really big role. It's almost like another character. You guys mentioned, you know, a number of hip hop stars like Kendrick Lamar. Well, actually, his music is in that first series. Drake, Crisscross. Whose idea was that to infuse a lot of the hip hop music in the series?
I mean, it's definitely something I wanted for sure, just in, you know, the character rap. And I just love the duality that like gangster rap and ratchet music, like, all of that allows you. And then, you know, having Prentice and Melina on board, Melina coming from the music world, and her taste being eclectic, and then bringing on music supervisors and consultants in Solange and Raphael Steak, like, you know, in trusting their taste, like music, we wanted it to be a character in the show. Like,
right.
And I wanted to, in the same way that I want the show to feel like it's reflective and relatable, I want the music to feel like you could play it without, like, you could play the show with the music in the background and still feel like it's either bumping or it's the soundtrack to your life.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you're not afraid, and you've never been afraid to push the envelope. You address a number of issues that are facing African-American women, single women, women that are in, you know, powerful positions. You guys kind of address the, can a black woman kind of have it all, the marriage, the career. Sort of, was that somewhat of your input, or is that something that HBO definitely wanted to discuss, or how did that sort of come about?
That's 100%, like, my input, you know, the showrunner's input, the writer's input, like, it's just, and it, just in my personal experience, it's just a lot of, like, it's a lot of the conversations that my friends and I, my girlfriends and I have are about that, like, just them being single and feeling like, is my success getting in the way? Do I have to lower my standards? And it's a constant conversation topic to the point of like almost being tired of it. But I, you know, if you're going to do a show about black women, especially black women in LA, you have to address it. But I think the difference here is just more focusing on what's wrong with you.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, you know, as opposed to, oh, well, it's me, the guy stuck. It's like, well, what's inside of you that you're not addressing that may be part of the problem?
How much, well, let me go back and say this, because there were certain scenes that I was cracking up, the club scene, and where you go to shake the guy's hand, and, you know, he does it, and so you just started kind of, was that script, or was that just sort of something that just kind of came out of, hey, let me, because that was hilarious, it was perfect timing for that.
It was scripted, but I didn't know what I was going to do, so I think we did different versions of like how I would react to him not noticing me.
Yeah.
But it was definitely in there, and that's something that's constantly happened to me even now. I just don't, and I don't know how to play it off, but I try. It just happened this morning actually while jogging. I waved to two ladies and they didn't see me, and so I just acted like that was part of my jogging.
Yeah. I mean, this is, and I love this show because it's so hip and fresh. And I really think that it's going to speak to this younger demographic. It's something on television that we don't currently see.
I'm excited to hear that. But I know that it's like the show was 20 years ago in the 90s. Can't believe it's 20 years ago. But like Mara Brachakio has said, like, even though that was like late early 2000s, but her show Girlfriends paved the way, Living Single paved the way for this show, Moesha paved the way for this show.
Yeah.
Because they all have like these, you know, regular relatable black girls. And that's what we wanted to have as well. And we wanted to, like, it's not necessarily about making something super high stakes or making something that's, like, overly dramatic or, you know, something that's just, like, high concept. It's just, like, I love the boring moments. I love the moments of money. I love the moments of, like, genuine relationships. And that's just what we'll seek to explore in this show.
And you really see, I guess, the really good chemistry that you have with actress Yvonne Orji. I think, is that how you say her last name?
Yes,
yeah.
Orji.
That chemistry that you guys have, I mean, you know, just being able to, you know, have that real conversation with your friend, and then, you know, you have an argument, and then it's like, hey, I'm coming over. Okay. Like as if it never happened. As if it never happened.
Yeah. I mean, that speaks to true, like, friendship and, like, the authenticity of it. And that was something that, first of all, Yvonne as a person is just so easy to, like, love and get along with. Like, she's one of those people where you meet her and you're like, oh my God, they're my best friend.
Yeah.
But then just speaking to the show and trying to portray authentic friendship, and especially Black female friendships, when you have so many shows insinuating that we don't get along and that right. we hate each other and that we're backstabbers. And so it was important to me to be like, no, like, Black women are, and my Black female friends are some of the most important people and the most necessary people in my life. And I just think that's the most beautiful thing ever.
Now, are you going to have any guest star appearances? Any folks popping in that you can tell us about?
We have one. That's what I can tell you about. We have, like, one surprise musical artist. We actually have two guests.
Okay.
One is, like, a prominent, like, two-episode part, and the other one is, like, sort of a cameo, but okay. I cannot say who. You'll have to be surprised.
And then also wanted to say, you've got this new two-year deal with HBO where you're going to be developing more programming. So have any other ideas in mind of what you'd like to bring to the small screen?
I mean, I want to work with other people. Like, I want to, in the same way that we've been doing with YouTube in terms of working with up-and-coming content creators, we're just looking to, like, you know, give somebody else with a unique voice a chance to, like, shine and just be dope. So I'm excited to see who we end up working with. You know, we're reading a bunch of scripts right now. We're meeting up with a bunch of different people, but it's just a great opportunity to sort of, you know, I guess share the baton, because I'm not passing it, because I'm still doing stuff too. But, right. like, you know, just come up together.
Yeah. Now, how difficult of a transition was it, I guess, going from creating contents for web series to now creating a content for a cable network?
The transition was not hard because there was money, and that made a huge difference. We were not, like, struggling. And I was like, what? Did somebody, so y'all got that? Oh, it's not y'all's have? That's great. I don't have to struggle to do that. And they're competent people who know what they're doing that are taking this on. So it's, you know, I'll miss some of the, like, bootstrapping aspects of it and, like, the independent aspects of, you know, just struggling to put a show together. But I do really, really appreciate the help in making the best show possible and being able to mostly focus on the creative and then, you know, wear the business hat and the producer hat.
Okay.
We're in the producer hat from time to time.
Okay. Well, Issa, thank you so very much. Much success to the show. Again, tell us when we can watch this show tomorrow night.
You can watch the show tomorrow night at 10:30 p.m. after Divorce on HBO.
Thanks so much, Issa Rae. And so looking forward to a great season of Insecure. That is Issa Rae, the star of HBO's new comedy series, Insecure. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, it's like grades in the sky. Sometimes I don't want to feel those little lines. Yeah, it's like grades in the sky. Sometimes I don't want to feel those little lines.
Hey, Upfront listeners, this is Ray Cornelius, urging you to pick up your phones and dial 404-880-8807 to make your pledge of support for this show and the countless others you listen to throughout the week. That's 404-880-8807. Or make your pledge of support online at WCLK.com.
You're listening to member-supported Jazz 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's jazz station, and now the home for in-depth arts and entertainment. Now, back to Upfront with your host, Ray Cornelius.
My next guest, Joshua Rashad McFadden, is an artist, photographer, and activist who is taking the creative world by storm with this thought-provoking exhibition, Come to Selfhood. It opens this weekend at the Mason Gallery in Atlanta and explores Black male identity, masculinity, and notions about father figures. The former SCAD student has already been featured in the New York Times Slate magazine and has been named one of the top emerging talents in the world by Lens Culture magazine. Welcome to Upfront, Joshua. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
Yeah?
Great. Thank you.
So I have to make a confession to our audience. I love Instagram and I'm constantly on there all the time just looking at the amazing pictures. I blog and I take my own photographs for my website. So a lot of times people think that I'm a photographer, but I'm not. But I totally appreciate good photography. And so I was checking out your actually, you were suggested and I was checking it. I was like, wow, this guy is really, really good. And then I realized that you were here in Atlanta. I was like, OK, I need to catch up with this guy. And then I received an invite to your opening last night. And I was like, oh, wow, this is destiny, because I really wanted to have you on the show to talk, really to kind of introduce you to our audience and talk about your amazing work. So you've got this new exhibition that opened last night. The title of it is Come to Selfhood. How exciting was last night's grand opening?
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was very amazing. You know, it was great to see everyone come out and support the show, support the cause and what, you know, what the work really stands for.
Yeah.
It was amazing to see that. So I'm very, you know, I'm very excited. It's up until November 4th, actually. And okay. So people are still able to go and see the exhibit.
Okay. So let's talk about this. I don't want to call it provocative, but it's really a thought-provoking piece. How did all of this come about?
Well, I began to think about identity and Black male identity and or masculinity. Back in 2012, I was an undergrad, actually. And I started thinking about that because that's when Trayvon Martin was killed. And I was, how old was I? 21 going on 22, right in the middle. And so, you know, thinking about that and the idea of, you know, what he, you know, how he looked, and that's why, you know, he was murdered, and what he was wearing and so on and so forth, or how he carried himself. And this idea that, you know, Black men are perceived as dangerous, hyper aggressive, you know, before we even have a say. And so I really began to think about that and began to think about my peers and how this affects us. And I wanted to create a project that gave, you know, men like me, you know, a voice.
So this project, like you said, it explores Black male masculinity, fatherhood. How did you pick your participants? Because there are several, you have several guys that are sort of telling their story through various images. How did you pick these young men?
These are young men that I've met while living here in Atlanta. I've been here about 3 years now. And so I've, you know, met a lot of people, and it started out as, you know, friends of mine, and then friends of friends, and then, you know, random people that I would meet, or I would spark up conversation about the project and they would want to participate.
Right. Now, when did you, at what point did you decide, okay, this is more than just a photography exhibition, but I really want to turn this into a coffee table book? How did that come to fruition?
Oh, wow. In the beginning, I wanted to do something different as far as identity construction is concerned. And so that's why the father, you know, the archival image of the father or father figure is included. And then also with the handwriting, I included the handwriting to give that personal touch. And it's the handwriting of the participants, and they're able to share their own stories without it being edited, you know, by anyone. You know, it's straight from their mouths. And so with the presentation of the work, you know, it just seemed like it would be the best way to present it as a book, so people are able to have it personal, you know, close to them, and they could read it whenever they want. Besides, you know, it being in a gallery setting, on, you know, pictures on a wall, I wanted to have, you know, more relatable.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You're listening to the voice of photographer, artist, and book author Joshua Rashawn McFadden, who is talking about his new exhibition, Come to Selfhood. What was the process like putting all of these images and, like you said, this handwritten stories about these young men? How did you, what was the creative process for that?
Yeah, very, very long process, because with each person, of course, I'm gathering all this information and time. And so with each participant, they had to go back and think about, you know, the best photograph of their father that they liked. And it had to be a photograph of their father around the age of 20 to 27, because that's the age of the participants in the book. It's about that idea of coming of age. And so that age 25, where you start to see the world differently and people start to see you differently, and you start to realize, you know, these experiences may not be happening just because of chance. And so, yeah, gathering those photographs and the time that that takes, and, you know, some of the participants had to get their photographs mailed in. Some of their fathers are in the military, you know, and that was interesting. And we had to see how we can get those shipped. And then some, one participant, you know, his house burned down, and so there was no more photographs, but just one that was digitally scanned. And so we had to use that. And so it was very interesting seeing how we keep these, you know, precious photos and which ones we have or don't have anymore.
Right.
And then with the text, the participants simply filled out a survey of 8 questions, and I scanned them in, and that's it.
Yeah.
And so just that process, you know, very tasking. Of course, we take a photograph, and so they sit for a portrait, you know, taken by me, and then all of that is set next to each other.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, what story stands out the most to you, or the one that you remember the most?
You know, it's one of those things where it's you know, you have a favorite one at every, I guess, every month. You know, I kind of know the whole thing by heart now, and different ones kind of strike me in different ways.
Yeah.
Right now, it's one by a young man, Cam, and he went off to list the different stereotypes of black men, and then he went on to say, you know, this is not who we are. You know, we are much more than that. He listed off, you know, we're seen as thugs, we're seen as, you know, we sell drugs, you know, no education, so on and so forth, which couldn't be, you know, further from the truth.
Right.
And so that one stuck out for me basically like this month. You know, that's one that kind of stays with me.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks so much for stopping by. We appreciate you coming to Upfront. And as you mentioned at the top of the interview, our listeners can check out the exhibit over at the Mason Art Gallery in
yes.
Atlanta through
mm-hmm.
November 4th.
November 4th.
Okay. And they can also check you out on your website at
joshuarashad.com and on Instagram at @Joshua_Rashad.
All right.
Can you please help me get home?
Well, where is that?
I'm trying to get to Omaha, where I was born.
Oh, no can do. See, that falls under the heading of transporting a minor across state lines. I'm afraid for something like that, you're going to have to see the Wiz.
The Wiz?
Yeah, the Wiz.
I bet he could get you home.
He can do anything. He's the Wiz.
Who's the Wiz?
Sweet thing, let me tell you about the world and the way things are right. You've come from a different place, and I know you traveled far right.
That was the voice of Amber Riley as Ada Pearl, the Good Witch of the South, in last year's award-winning NBC production of The Wiz. The show was directed by Atlanta's own Kenny Leon and proved to be a ratings winner. Now the Tony-winning director is teaming up with the network once again for a new production of Hairspray, starring Jennifer Hudson. Upfront caught up with Mr. Leon to discuss that show, his late friend Bill Nunn, and his thoughts on the new movie version of Fences.
Well, welcome to Upfront, Mr. Leon. How are you today?
I'm good. It's good to be here.
Great. So listen, I wanted to ask you, we're almost 2 weeks away from the opening of the new theatrical production of Proof over at your theater company, True Colors Theater Company. What can we expect? What can audiences expect from this show?
I think they can expect the excitement, and I think they can fight. Well, let me put it this way.
Okay.
The first part of the word entertainment is the word enter. I think there will be a door for everyone to enter the dialogue of this play. For some people, they may find it interesting because they've been around family members that have had a chemical imbalance, you know, or dealing with mental issues. For some people, they might come to it because it's a play very much about two sisters, two grown sisters, and how sisters deal with things differently, and they're dealing with the death of their father. For some people, it might be a play about the relationship of a father and his daughter whom he loved. And it's, I say all that, and it's still a very funny play, and it's a Pulitzer Prize winning play. It's a wonderful cast of actors. But I think that everyone will find something entertaining and inspiring about this play.
Okay.
I mean, it has a name, no, Proof. It's a name of Proof, but Proof sounds like, oh, that's something scientific, that sounds mathematical. And it does have that element because the central figure was a math genius.
Okay.
And his daughter is also a math and science genius. And she's afraid that genetically what happened to him dying an early death is going to happen to her. And what we learn in the play that life is about being in the moment, contributing to life now. And so I think it's a very, very good play. And especially for me during this time right now, you know, I had a friend, the great Bill Nunn, Radio Raheem, who passed away last week. And he grew up right here in the AU Center, and we did a lot of plays around here, and that's where, you know, he met Spike Lee, and we all were in the center at the same time with Samuel L. Jackson, and his wife LaTanya Jackson was here then. And so, you know, it reminds me that life is about, you know, making the world better while you're here.
Right.
And Proof is about making life better while you're here.
Now, you mentioned Bill Nunn. What was your fondest memory of him in working with him? What is that, the one thing that sticks out in your mind when you think about him?
Oh, man, there's so many things that stick out of my mind with Bill Nunn. Wow. You know, he was the most consistent person that I knew. And every day in the last month or so, we would talk about the Andy Griffin Show. And that was Barney Fife and Andy Griffin and Otis the Town Drunk. And we would just laugh and laugh at episodes we've already seen before.
Right.
But the Andy Griffin Show was really an education about great acting, great storytelling, how to stay in your lane regardless of what character you are. And Bill Nunn was a great character actor. He always stayed in his lane. And he always, you know, just, you know, he was always an ensemble player. So if you think about Do the Right Thing, or you think about New Jack City, you think about Regarding Henry, he was an actor capable of doing diverse work and diverse characters, you know. So America lost a good one there. So when you think about him, I just think about laughter and I think about consistency, because when anyone talks about him, they're all talking about the same person. He was always the same. You know, I remember with the Wiz, and I talked to him, and I said, "Yeah, man, what did you think?" He said, "Yeah, man, I'm glad you got those numbers, man. It was pretty good, man. I liked it." And I asked him about one specific moment and one specific character, and he makes this sound that it's, I can only do justice by making the sound.
He's right.
And that's when something didn't quite work. And, you know, and for him, he always told me the truth. So it was like one moment that didn't quite work for him. So he just said, Well, if we went to a play together and it didn't work, what are they doing? You know, but he was honest. He was truthful. He was funny. And he was consistently himself, consistently Bill Nunn. And he made the world better. He made the world better. And he left his mark here. He left his art here. He left his laughter here.
Now you're about to head to LA to start working on NBC's live musical version of Hairspray. How exciting is that?
I'm very excited to go to LA on Monday to start work on Hairspray. I'm very excited. Jennifer Hudson is in it, and she is going to be she's going to deliver something that I think the world is going to be surprised and amazed at. And that's saying something for Jennifer to go somewhere where we don't expect her to go.
Yeah.
Harvey Fierstein, Ariana Grande, Rosie O'Donnell, Sean Hayes. It's a really, Ephraim Sykes, it's a really diverse cast, and it's a talented cast. We're doing it in L.A., so some of the scenes will be shot outside, and many will be shot inside. So we got to run from scene to scene, from place to place. So right. I'm scared as hell, but that's why I do them, because you know, it's live and it's exciting.
Yeah. Now, the trailer for August Wilson's Fences, the film version of this show, is out,
right.
Starring Denzel Washington and Viola Davis.
Right.
How instrumental were you in, I guess, working on this? We all know that you directed the music, the play version, right. But now we're about to see the movie version.
I talked to Denzel yesterday,
okay.
And I'm so excited for him and the cast, and everybody in that cast is everybody that was in my Broadway production except one person. So
right.
it's like watching your cast. But I'm so excited for Denzel. And what people don't remember, and to show you what kind of man he is, in 2010, when I was approached about doing the Broadway production of Fences with Denzel,
right.
They had previously went to him to say they wanted him to direct the film and to star in the film. And he said, well, I'm not ready to do the film. I want to do the play first. And I only want to do the play if Kenny Leon can do the play.
Wow.
And the producer liked me as well. So they said, yeah, well, we're in agreement with that. So they came to me to do the play. We did the play. It got nominated for 10 Tony Awards. It was some of the best work that I've done. I did not win the directing Tony then, but the play won for best play. Denzel won, Viola
right.
won, so I was a part of that. And then you flash forward 4 years later, then I win a directing Tony for Raising in the Sun, which is our second production that we did together.
Right.
But, I had nothing to do with the film other than when Denzel would call me and say, hey, man, you know, in that transition, what did you do? Because we tied, you know, it's a film. We can't do what we did in the play. Then we'd talk about that, or I would talk to him about where are you? How is it in the cutting room? So he's calling me from the editing room and telling me how excited. And so I get to see him this week when I go to L.A. and hopefully see an early version of the film. But we're good friends, and I respect all those artists in that film. You know, Stephen McKinley Henderson, who plays Bono, I bet he gets an Oscar nomination, you know, and Denzel
wow.
and Viola, of course, you know,
yeah.
and Russell Hornsby. So it's, you know, I'm just pulling for them, and it's a great story. And I'm cheering most and the loudest for not only Denzel as director, but as August Wilson, you know, because now the world, millions and millions of people get to see the work of August Wilson, and that would drive more of them to see his plays and to know about the greatness of August Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Leon, for stopping by up front. We can't wait to see Hairspray when it debuts on Wednesday, December 7th at 8 p.m. Thank you so much for listening to today's show. I'd like to thank my guest, Issa Rae of HBO's Insecure, photographer Joshua Rashad McFadden, and Tony-winning director Kenny Leon. I would also like to thank my engineer, Mark Angel, and you, the listener. Don't forget to make your pledge of support for this show by dialing 404-880-8807. You can also go online at WCLK.com and make your pledge of support safely and securely. Tune in next Saturday, October 15th at 9 a.m. for another edition of Upfront. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, has been brought to you by Atlanta's jazz station, 91.9 FM WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.